In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We read the collect for the Feast of the Transfiguration along with the collect for today. And you may have noticed I just changed the gospel reading. Transfiguration is one of those pivotal theological moments, stories in the New Testament of who Jesus was, who Jesus is, that gets overlooked, I think, because of the, you know, the nativity, the Christmas time, and the cross and resurrection. But something happens in the middle that is, in my opinion, just as amazing as the beginning of the story and the end of the story, the transfiguration on the mountain. It is personal reflections through yesterday that caused me to make the decision to read the Transfiguration Gospel. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Transfiguration. We, as St. Paul says, our bodies and all of creation groan with expectation until the time of adoption, which is, he says, the redemption of the body. We believe, we confess that in Christ, in the work of God, in his Son, our souls are saved. We say in many ways in the liturgy that when we open our mouths to pray, when we sing the praises of God, we enter into the heavens. But I've still got arthritis. We still have a bum knee. You know, Lord, I would be a lot more patient with everybody. I would be much more spiritual if you would just get rid of my gout. If it weren't for this genetic disease that I inherited that affects my lungs and I'm so tired all the time, I could do so much more for the kingdom. If it weren't for that uncontrollable craving I have for that kind of food I like or that comfort food that I take that has weakened my body, if it weren't for that lustful desire that has led me down wrong paths so many times and destroyed relationships, is it any wonder that St. Paul screams out to God, "Who will deliver me from the body of death? I hate living in this body. It's nothing but trouble. It snares me up. It slows me down. It traps me in every possible way that it can." What does Jesus say in the garden when he's praying the night before of his crucifixion? He tells the disciples to stay here and pray, and he goes off and he comes back and they're asleep. What does he say? "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He was so right. It's not a surprise when we look at carefully the experience of the human being in the flesh that the Greek philosophers, the Hindu philosophers, and a lot of Christian theologians have become what we call Gnostic. The only way to get to eternity and get to God is to get rid of the body. Jesus says otherwise. God says otherwise. Gabriel says otherwise. What did Gabriel say to Mary? "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he will be called God with us." What does the psalmist say? "In sacrifices and offerings you did not take delight, but you have prepared a body for me." We tend to dislike the body. We tend to want to escape the body. We tend to see the body as a snare, as a difficulty, as something that we need to get rid of to find true holiness, to find God. I don't think it works that way. There's a particular light of glory that belongs to God and God alone in eternity. There's a particular light of glory that shines through those purely spiritual beings that we call angels, of all the different kinds that we identify, the cherubim and the seraphim and the angels and archangels and principalities and dominions. They each have their own glory. They're pure spirit. And God has created this kaleidoscope of pure spiritual beings that serve him in the heavens. And I just get this idea that at some point in the history of God, however his history works, he said, you know, I've got this eternal glory that's mine. And I've made this spiritual glory of the angelic world. You know what? I'm going to create something called matter. Something that's totally different from me in every possible way. I'm eternal, it's temporal. I'm spiritual, it's physical. I'm strong, it's weak. I'm unchangeable, it will change constantly. Everything you say about God, the created world that we know, is its exact opposite in almost every way. He says, and now I'm going to make my glory shine through that. We hate the body. We're tired of the body. We're weary of the body. I could do so much more if I didn't have to sleep. I didn't have to stop for lunch and dinner all the time. We want to escape. He doesn't want to escape. He comes down into the arthritis, into the cancer, into the brokenness, into the fear of going hungry, into the fear of being hurt. This is where God comes on that day in Bethlehem. Except we can't accept it. We don't believe it. It's too hard to believe because our experience says this body is the problem. The analogy that I have in my head is Thomas Edison and the light bulb. He knew that in order to create a light bulb, he had to have something through which the electricity could pass in order to make it glow. And he tried hundreds and hundreds of things, I guess, before he found the substance that would work. The spiritual realm and the glory of God was all settled. He had expressed his glory in every angelic being. He had created that breadth of that world already. And he says, I want to make something that is totally different from me and pass my energy through it and make it glow with my glory as well. And so he created a body. In the story, the first one we see glowing with this is Moses. His face comes down from the mountain, and his face is shining. I expect the rest of him was shining too, but he just had his robes covered it up. But of course, Jesus is the pinnacle of the story. Our pain, our weakness, our fear tends to make us believe that the glory of God cannot shine through this body. That the way to find the glory of God is escape. Peter, James, and John, this time they stayed awake. The flesh was just a little bit stronger. They got to see divine evidence to the contrary. This body is not the enemy of God. This body is not the enemy of light. This body is not the enemy of glory. This body is that filament through which the energy of God flows, and this body can be transfigured. I think this is why, when Jesus appears after the resurrection, they didn't recognize him at first. There was something different. If they hadn't walked up on the mountain with him and seen him the whole time he's there praying, see him glow, for lack of a better term, they wouldn't have recognized him either. At that moment, but they knew it was him because He's the one who led us up here, and he's been praying, and we've been trying to pray, and all of a sudden everything changes, and that's still got to be him, because that's where we saw him last. And through the body, the glory of Christ comes. That's the promise of the resurrection. That's the promise of eternal life. Not escape, but transfiguration. The incarnation is the beginning of the story, but it's so hidden that it's only seen by a few. The resurrection, seen by more in his glory. But the transfiguration happens right in the middle of the story. The transfiguration of Christ happens right where we are in our story, right in the middle. As we go along, as we enter into the praise of God, as we enter into intercessions, as we receive into our bodies the body of Christ, he must not hate the body, or he wouldn't have given us bread and wine to drink in order to sustain our spirit. If he wanted us to be pure spirit and escape the body, do you think he would have given us something to eat? No, he would have simply said, starve yourselves to death and come see me tomorrow. No, sustain the body. Take care of the body. Love the body. Engage with the body. It's contrary to human tendency. But then just about everything of God is contrary to human tendency. He wants you and me by faith to stop being self-centered and to be loving. Here we are as creatures who have evolved, and you survive in evolution by defending yourself, by stealing somebody else's food or getting to it first, okay? Having a better weapon than they had so you can chase them off your land, whatever it is. That's how we got where we are. That's born into us. It's in our genetic code. And God says, yes, that's who you are. I have something more. Come beyond that. Leave behind what you were and come be something else. Be self-giving, not self-protecting. Be loving, do not hoard. As long as we're scared for our survival, as long as we let the pain and the misery and the fear of failure in the body overwhelm our spirit, we close off the possibility of transfiguration. Notice I said, as long as we cling to our selfishness, to our sin, to our fear, we close off the possibility of transfiguration. That's because I believe that where you sit and where I stand right now, the possibility of transfiguration, just like the one that happened to Jesus on that mountain, is possible right now. Yes, there will be glory in heaven. Yes, there will be the new heavens and the new earth, and the body will be raised up and will be Jesus forever, and that's all well and good. But he's transfigured in the middle of the story. He's transfigured now. There are enough stories from the saints of the church that confirm that transfiguration is possible now. A disciple and the spiritual master were walking along in the forest praying one day, and they stopped to talk, and the student wouldn't lift his eyes from the ground. The master said, "Why won't you look at me?" He said, "Because it's too bright. You're glowing. You're on fire." And the master looked at the student and said, "So are you." That's the possibility we live in. The body is not the barrier. The body is that beautifully made, wonderfully crafted intention of God, like the filament in the light bulb through which his energy passes. We can block it off. We can try to try to choke that by our selfishness and our sin and barely feel it. Or we can cleanse our hearts and receive his mercy and open ourselves up to it and let that current of God flow freely, which transforms us who are creatures of matter into the light of God. By faith, do not let the fear and the self that is so anchored in the body convince you that the body is wrong. Do not let them convince you that the body is evil. Do not let them convince you that the body is a barrier. By the birth of the Lord Jesus, by his transfiguration, by his resurrection, by faith, state, my body is made for the glory of God. Amen.